This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. You can do it by love. All right.
Gotta let you know, girl, looking good, you're outside. Martin and Frank coming to you live from Soulard. Frank is actually over at the Enterprise Center. Blues having a skate. They've got a game tonight. The Nashville Predators are in town. We're at the Great Grizzly Bear Mardi Gras this weekend. Blues on the ice tonight. They'll be on the ice Saturday night at home as well. And it's a chance now to talk it over with Doug Armstrong, the Blues president and general manager. And, Doug, it's been a long time since we talked, and I don't know, we couldn't find the audio, but back in November I said this team will rally, this team will play great hockey. Have faith, everybody. Calm down. Don't worry. It will happen. I can't find the audio. I just want you to know I was there back then.
I remember it well.
How about the season for you? You've been doing this a long time. I mean, you don't ride the highs and lows. I know how you are. You're pretty even keel. But has this been as weird a turnaround or as dramatic a shift in fortunes as you've been around?
It has been, and it's interesting. It's the polar opposite of last year, where we started out so well and got to December, and then really fell apart for a few months, and obviously didn't make the playoffs last year. But I would say, quite honestly, I was a little more surprised by our October, November than our play now. I know we're not going to be able to play at this winning percentage forever, but I thought this was a good team. I was surprised it took so long to find its footing, but now I'm certainly excited to be part of it, and I know I enjoy watching the guys work because they're pouring so much into every day now.
There were a lot of additions last summer. Was any part of the slow couple of months there, the transition time, guys getting used to each other? I mean, we said that early on, and it sounded like an excuse. I just wonder, looking back, if there was a little something to that.
Well, I think there was. We had players that were used to playing on the first power play unit, or ice time was being divvied up. When someone like O'Reilly comes in and Perron comes in and played very well and were producing offense, their ice time increased, and it came from guys that maybe had that ice time last year, and it took a little bit of time for everyone to find their comfort level, and I guess the transition did take a little bit longer than we thought it would. I thought, quite honestly, our back end would solidify everything. We had the same group as the year before, where we finished, I think, eighth in goals against, and I think right around Christmas we might have been 29th. Now we're back to eighth, so we're seventh or eighth. So I think we've stabilized from our goal out, and that's certainly been a key to our turnaround.
Was it stressful for you as the guy who put the pieces in place? You're up there and you're talking to Tom Stillman, and you feel good about the players you have, but the results weren't there. How difficult was? I know you had faith in that group, but it's got to be trying for you.
Yeah, you take pride in your job. We put a plan together. We thought we would be at a certain level. When you're not there, I don't want to say you second guess, but you're always trying to find reasons why you're not there. And we certainly didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we were getting to that point. If we had stayed consistent to where we were in December through yesterday, there would have been obviously major changes at the organization at the trade deadline. I don't have to worry about that. The guys did find their sea legs, and that's very good. But it was, I don't want to say stressful, it was disappointing, but also invigorating in the sense that you had an opportunity to try and be part of the solution.
I know you always think when you get towards the playoffs that you're good enough to win a cup. I would think with this team, it's based on how you've done head-to-head, whether it's in Nashville or a San Jose or the Capitals. Even before you got on this red-hot streak, the team was playing well against the good teams. I would think that gives you some confidence down the road that why can't you win some big games when you've done it against good teams this year?
Yeah, even earlier in the year when we were struggling, we found a way to go into Toronto and beat Toronto. And what was disappointing, I would say, was our inability to gain points in games where you always gain points. I would say in the first, I think, 13 or 14 games, we might have been tied or leading in 11 of those. And not getting points in probably half of those was very disappointing. You know, you don't give up leads in the third period, and we weren't winning those share of games. So we found a way now to stabilize that and find our points. And it's been a good group, and playing well against good teams earlier in the year made us feel that it was there. We just had to get on a consistent basis, and you know, where the NHL, there's so much parity in the NHL. I would really, you know, you look at two or three teams, maybe four, that are a letter grade ahead of everybody else, and then you probably have four or five teams that are a letter grade behind everybody else, and the rest of us are in that mix trying to get as high up as we can, and we've been able to play well against those teams that are a letter grade ahead of us.
Doug Armstrong, the Blues president and general manager with us here on 590, Blues and Predators tonight. How about this rivalry, Doug? I know it's been there. You had them in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Huge weekend a couple of weeks back where you won both of those games. Your fans get into it. Their fans get into it. Do you see this? I mean, the Hawks thing has died down a little bit. The Red Wings aren't a Western Conference team anymore. Is this, at this point, do you think your biggest rival?
I do. I think both fan bases are rabid and they travel well. It's easy drive to Nashville, easy drive from Nashville to St. Louis. So they seem to be a good group of the opposition's fans at the games, and they're a team that I don't want to say they're easy to hate, but there doesn't take a long time to get that anger up to play them, and I think that happens when you play somebody in the playoffs, and we had it with Chicago, and I think that if we're fortunate enough to make the playoffs and play Nashville, I think it will be a heated series very quickly.
Doug, Jordan Binnington, I guess he can't be an overnight sensation because he's been with the organization since 2011. What did you know about him over the years, and what have you seen from him in this stretch that maybe we didn't see in the last 7-8 years?
Well, I would say since he's drafted, you know, he's went back, played a couple of years of junior, had a very stellar junior career. Got to the American Hockey League and was in very good competition, whether it was with Allen or Husso. He was probably the one player, not having our own affiliation last year, that we I don't want to say we lost track of, but he was in with the Providence Bruins, the Boston Bruins organization, as a partner there, and so he wasn't around our group a lot. Someone that came in and quite honestly had a decent training camp. Went down to the American Hockey League. We thought Husso would get the number of starts there. He didn't play to his level, and then he got injured. Binnington grabbed the ball and hasn't looked back. But he's had good numbers in the American Hockey League, and obviously he just needed an opportunity, and he's making the most of it.
Doug, does anybody, whether it's you or Craig Berube, do you even say anything to Jake Allen at this point? I mean, I think he's pretty clear on what his role is right now. Do you have conversations with him about it?
No, our goalie coach and our coaches talk to the players. I think that, Binnington's playing very well. He's getting his fair share of the starts, Jake's gone in there and he's gotten points in multiple games in a row for us. That Minnesota game, he got us that extra point. He was outstanding in the third period, made some great saves for us. So he's working hard. He's biding his time, and that's really what you want is internal competition. I know he wants Binnington to continue to play well, but every time he gets his opportunity, he wants to put a little bit of doubt in everyone's mind on who to play the next game, and really that's his job, and he's doing very well at it right now.
Doug, what did you know about Craig Berube before you gave him the job to replace Mike Yeo at the time to be the interim for the rest of the season? What did you know then, and what have you learned with him behind the bench?
Well, we had him coaching our minor league team and our American Hockey League team in Chicago. And so I got to know him from a distance there, and then coming in and being an associate coach here, he's an easy read in the sense that he's relatively black and white in his approach. I personally appreciate that. He's not trying to manipulate or work mind games. He's very upfront on what he expects from the players, and they know that. Some of them enjoy it. Some of them don't enjoy what he says to them, but there's no question they understand what the communication is. They don't have to read the tea leaves, as they say. So I really enjoy his approach to it. I think he's done a great job for us. We're very organized. We play well with the puck, so the other team doesn't have the puck as much as they have in the past. So I'm really excited for the job that he's done, and I've enjoyed every second working with him.
How will you approach it when the season does end? He's been the interim now for a while. There's names out there. We know the Joe Quenneville conversation. Guys like me don't help it by bringing it up all the time. But I would think with the job Berube's done, if he's not on the short list, he's darn close at this point. How will you approach that decision?
Well, we'll deal with it when the year's over, but you're right. We said that in January we're going to start a search, and put all our support behind Craig. The reality is that every day I work with Craig, you remove different names from that list because the job that he's doing. So he's doing a great job here. We want to finish this off with him and then address that when the season's over. But he's done a fabulous job here, and for sure he's a serious front-running candidate to be the permanent coach here.
And, Doug, you follow the league. Obviously, you know the players inside and out. Is Ryan O'Reilly better than you thought? I mean, I think for your fans, a lot of us knew about his game, but not to this level, what we see night in and night out, the clutch play, and the ability to kind of do a little bit of everything. Is he better than advertised?
I'm very impressed with Ryan. I've had an opportunity to work with him internationally a couple of times, and just what impresses me is the complete lack of peaks and valleys in his game. He just plays the same way every night as a manager, and certainly as a coach, you want to know what you're going to get. And we know every night what we're getting from Ryan, whether it's when he's not scoring, he's affecting the game with his penalty kill, with his face-offs. He's been, we thought we were getting a top-end player, and he's played to those expectations, maybe exceeded them. And I think the only reason he exceeded them is because now we know the man sort of off the ice, and his character, the way he works. He and Pietrangelo are workhorses in the gym in their preparation. So they're two guys that we're able to follow as an organization.
And, Doug, the trade deadline, you pick up Michael Delzato. Tell us about his game and how close on any other deals. I know you're probably talking to a lot of teams. What else that you can say? How close were you on any other deals?
We were kicking tires on a few different deals, but we were looking more to do hockey deals where we were going to have a player for the rest of this season and moving forward than the strictly rental market. So we, as I said, we were involved in a couple because of the situation with Shen and Perron, but we have a comfortable feeling they'll be back sooner than later. But if we could have added someone there, we thought about it, but the price tag to do that didn't seem to be appropriate for what we wanted. We got information that Gunnarsson's not going to play for a few weeks, so we really wanted to add another layer of defensive help, getting Delzato, a left-shot player, someone that's played in the league for a number of years, someone that's not going to be overwhelmed by any situation that he goes into. Just gives us a little more depth than we had before. But we were not looking to do a lot yesterday in the sense that we really believe this group has earned the right to stay together, and we're just in the infancy of our next window, and we didn't want to stagnate the growth of a Robbie Thomas or of a Sundquist or of a Barbashev, Sanford, players like that. So we weren't really looking to add a rental player that would be here for, just till the end of this season. So we weren't overly involved in much else.
Doug, last thought, Braden Schenn, David Perron, either one close at this point?
Yeah, Perron skated with the group today, which was a positive sign. And as I said, both players are training and want to get back in as soon as possible. And that would certainly be the best trade deadline acquisition we could make, would be getting those guys back into our lineup.
And here's the deal. When your guys win the cup and they hold it up and we hold the microphones, all of us media guys, and they turn and your players all say, none of you believed in us. You said we were done. And we all have to say, yeah, you were right. That was true. We did say that. We're going to have – because teams always say – the Patriots always say, nobody believed in us. And I said, this is the one time a team can turn to everybody and say, you know what, nobody believed in us back in November. And we'd have to say, you're right about that. And
we're a little ways from the Stanley Cup, but we're excited about the way we're playing right now.
Doug, thanks for the time.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations, also the general manager. His line about the Predators – he said, I don't want to say they're easy to hate, but I think for the fan base, they'd say, oh, they're easy to hate.
I think Strick would agree, saying
the
they're easy to
country
hate.
Country buggers,
yes.
Easy to hate.
Oh, goodness.
And if.
But that's fun.
The Blues do win the cup, if they all should say that. None of you guys believed in us. Correct. And then we'd say, did you believe in you back in November?
Just to be clear, you didn't believe in you either.
Did you guys believe back then? Good to spend some time with Doug Armstrong. I was looking back at some texts. It's been a while. And, when they're going poorly, there's no reason to talk to them. I mean, you'd like to, but for the most part, everybody just kind of, Yeah, nothing to see here.
Well, I had reached out to fine media relations guy, Mike Caruso, the executive with the Blues, about 2 weeks ago, kind of in the middle of that 12-game winning streak, and he said Army wants to wait till after the trade deadline. And I'm like, okay, well, that, one, makes sense, but two, there's probably a little bit about him like, oh, yeah, now you want to talk to us. Okay. Where were these emails asking for Army in November and December? I'm going to stick it to him now a little bit. It's like, yeah, it's fair.
We were riding the SLU train pretty hard. We were still on the Mizzou train pretty hard.
Talking about Jeremiah Tillman a lot. Yeah, sorry. But now they're not doing well, and you are. Come on.
Blues and Predators tonight. Your Perron appears to be closer than Shen, and the Shen loss is huge because when he went to the left wing on that first line, that was a huge turning point for the team, in addition to Jordan Binnington. Blues Predators tonight, the fun is on in the Central Division, and I would say it depends on what you want, but I think in terms of matchups and storylines, you want the Preds and Blues to be that matchup in the first round. I don't want to see the Blues and Jets in the first
100%.
Round.
100%. That's what the NHL
also
wants.
From coverage and just going back and forth, I think the Nashville story, you know, careful what you wish for. That's a team that went to the Cup Final last year, but Winnipeg, and I think Strick has said, hockey guy, that you don't want to face Winnipeg just from a matchup standpoint. I'm talking about storylines, proximity. Fox 2 coverage. Well, also, Nashville.
Even for the fans.
Like, Chuck could start driving now to Winnipeg.
Totally. And get there just in time.
He would.
Do you have a passport? You need a passport to get to Canada.
You need
now.
A passport to go to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Now,
have that?
If we have a vote, we would say Blues and Predators.
Blues and Predators.
In the first round.
100%.
Quick break here. We'll do five for Frank when we come back. We're live at the Great Grizzly Bear in Soulard, the corner of Guyer and Menard. They've got the double Papa Bear.
Yeah, the Papa Bear burger, Martin.
Which is a double.
It's a 1 pound triple. Cheeseburger, rather. That's $9.95. They have the Mama Burger, which is $8.95. That's a half-pound burger. So if you're coming here for lunch, you just pay a dollar more. You get twice the burger. You might as well just go that route.
Simple math. CBC math.
There we go.
Frank is back from the rink. He and Strick holding this team accountable on a daily basis.
And the fine owner of this great establishment has said that he'd like to see if you could eat that pound burger.
Wow. Well,
kind of the challenge.
You know, this is the crazy thing is I actually was on the run early this morning and had a big breakfast, so I don't want to make excuses because normally I show up famished and I could do it.
You may take one for the team and give it a shot.
May take one for the team or defer to Chuck Marlowe, who's also got a little room, cap space, I think is what the kids call it.
When you're at like the rink talking to players and Strick is there, do you go like, hey, he was tweeting about prospects and draft guys
actually,
about a month or two
the
ago.
Strick routine is interesting, and Martin will confirm this, is that he doesn't do any actually interviewing. He has kind of a notebook, but he huddles up with a player and just asks a little couple of questions, and we're all waiting for him to finish his personal conversation so we can actually get work done.
Yeah, he just kind of walks around and fist pounds the players, pats them on, like he's part of management.
Yeah.
Kind of a little pat on the back.
6-2-2.
Like, yeah, let's have a great game tonight, guys. I think the most interesting thing is Doug Armstrong admitting basically they were as frustrated, as confused looking at that roster and wondering why they weren't winning. I don't think you're going to hear from Doug Armstrong or Tom Stillman, hey, none of you guys believed in this, because they would tell you it was pretty bad.
In fact, I just saw Tom walking into the rink, and I said, are you shocked by this? And he said, no. He says, this is what I thought we were going to do when we made these acquisitions in July. He goes, this is what we thought. So
we just didn't think we'd be that bad and then this good.
Yeah. And as a former center with the Canadiens in the early 80s, you may remember my career, I can say that I saw David Perron today, and that guy doesn't look ready to play. Wow. I mean, he's got to be really, really close.
And Army said it. We were waiting for it yesterday. Trade deadline. We said this will be coming. If you get those two guys back, that's as good
as
any acquisition.
It's like making a trade without giving anything up.
Shen and Perron, when they do, in fact, return. All right, a quick break. Five for Frank coming up live from the Great Grizzly Bear. It's a big Mardi Gras weekend. We're only days away.
Saturday.
A great spot at the corner of Guyer and Menard.